You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
It's the Mandatory Samson Podcast coming to you on Christmas Day night. Yeah, it makes sense, Joey, if you think about it, because it's Thursday, it's Christmas, you had Christmas, you did your thing, you did your presents, you ate dinner, and now you're listening to the Mandatory Samson Podcast, because what else would you be doing? This is the place to be. I have the sniffles. I have two great friends sitting with me. I have Joseph, Anthony, Noe the Third, and Andrew, Malcolm, Genelozzi the Fourth. What do you think about that?
I like it.
You like it? Andy's doing the level, so he's not even sitting at the mic yet. Here he comes.
Okay, I'm here.
You're here.
Nah, that's not my middle name, actually.
Your middle name isn't Malcolm, and you're not the fourth in line.
No, but my middle name does start with an M, though. So
really?
We're close.
Andrew Matthew. Nope. No, that's stupid.
Michael.
Nope.
Massapequa. I don't know. What's your
Nantucket.
Middle
name?
Mark.
Mark. Andrew Mark.
That's my dad's name.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, there you go. Andrew Mark Genelozzi. Boom. Hi guys, welcome to this incredibly weird start to the show. We're happy that you're here.
Yeah, thank you.
Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or whatever else you're celebrating. We're very excited to be here. I have a little bit of a cold, so if I sound a little nasal or whatever.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do, and I feel really uncomfortable, but I was not going to not record this. Listen, we got a pretty good show planned. We were going to keep it a little lighter, which we still are, but two big things came up. One of them, I'm sure a lot of people heard about. One of them, it seems like not a lot of people heard about, and it's something that I really wanted to talk about because it's absolutely fucking crazy. Later in the show, we're going to... You brought some kind of Christmas list or whatever, Joey?
Yes,
what do you got?
I did. I did a little bit of the movies I enjoy for Christmas, and I want to see how you guys feel about that, and I would like to cut down the list to about five movies that are must-watch for Christmas.
All right, that's a pretty good idea. And also, very exciting, as you all know, the romantic BDSM novel Fifty Shades of Grey is being turned into a movie, and that movie's coming out in February, Valentine's Day, I think.
Oh, nice.
So to build a little hype into this thing, we're going to have Joey, starting this week, read excerpts from 50 Shades of Grey. So
stick around
for that. That's going to be extremely erotic and difficult to listen to. you got anything to say about that, Andy? No,
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too. I picked a pretty sexual paragraph as well for Joey to read. So
yeah, I heard
good.
It's all sexual paragraphs in that.
Yeah, after chapter three, it gets it's pretty hardcore, I guess.
Pretty wild.
All right. So, do we want to get into something, or what? Did you have something that you want to do at the beginning? What are you doing?
No. Oh, do you mean? Oh, do you want to open your card? Is that what you
mean? Yeah.
Okay. I got Chris for Secret Santa, but I wasn't able to come in yesterday because. Oh, and that's one thing I want to complain about.
Okay.
I can never at my other job. I can never ever get somebody to work for me. I was always happy, and now I can't really work for other people that often anymore.
Right.
But like because my schedule is set. Like if I'm not there, I'm here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Right.
Like I don't have any days off. I work 7 days a fucking week, and so like it's set.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, before I started working here, I would cover shifts all the time. I would go like 4 weeks without having a day off, like
yeah,
4 weeks
insane.
In a row with like three or four doubles mixed in. So the fact that nobody will help me out like to this point is really quite irritating. But anyway, so that I couldn't be here yesterday, and that's when we did our Secret Santa swap, and I got Chris, so I got him a card, and you have to read the card or else the present won't seem as meaningful, I suppose.
Okay.
Ooh, nice.
All right, let's see what happens. Will you guys talk for a minute while I open this?
I'm very jealous I don't have a card.
I know, Joey. I know you felt bad about that, but it wasn't like I got him a card and there was no Secret Santa background to it.
Right, there's a reason why he just happened
like,
to
like, it's not like I just got hit. I just was like, here, Chris, I don't care about as much about you, Joey.
Okay, well, the front of the card, there's a glass and it's full of liquid and a large portion of it, probably like 90% of it, is rum, it says. And then the bottom little bit is eggnog.
Okay.
So I open the card up.
Yeah, it's kind of cooler than... All right, whatever.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
Hope your holidays are just the right mix of happy. The gift card, that's very nice. The gift card is meant to be used at New Wave Cafe, but a bar tab is just fine too. Merry Christmas, brother Andrew. Well, thank you, baby. And he gave me a nice Visa gift card. I really appreciate that. That's great. New Wave Cafe is where we go all the time for lunch. We get our turkey clubs.
Yeah, and I went there and I tried. And okay, I knew there was no way a gift card was happening at that place. Right. But I was like, maybe gift certificate. Because diners do gift certificates. Yes. They'll do that for you. I asked him about it. This was last week, I think. And I asked them about it, and they looked at me like I had six heads. Not even the fact of, like, of do we have gift cards, but just over what a gift card even was. Like, they, no idea. And I was like, okay, because I felt, because anytime you give somebody, like, just money, you feel bad. Like, it doesn't have meaning to it.
Yeah.
But there was thought behind it. Well, I wanted you to know that.
That's great. I really appreciate it. Yeah, that would have been cool to have the gift card. But I get what you're doing. That's perfect. So thank you.
You're welcome.
That's great. I'm sure I'll probably be just buying both of us a turkey club.
Thanks. That's great.
Well, Joey, you're not here all the time with us. Well, what do you want from
us? What did you get Donnie, by the way?
I got him, Donnie, the guy that owns Stand Up New York.
Yeah, it's a high pressure situation. I
got him, two movie passes to an AMC.
Just free
movie tickets. Yeah, and he was excited because he's like, I go to the one, well, I'm not going to say where he goes, but he's like, I was there yesterday. He's like, I have a perfect one that I go to. This is great. So
fantastic.
Really well. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so I was happy about that. Yeah, it's cool because movies in the fucking city can be very expensive. You know, it's 14.25 or something to go see a movie. So like these movie passes are great.
He got me a gift card too, which was nice.
That's great. Yeah. Just like a Visa gift card or whatever?
No, like for Tunes.
Oh perfect. Nice.
That's like two fucking albums. It's
That's
amazing.
Awesome. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Everybody seemed to have worked out fine.
Yeah, except for Joey. Got nothing. Right. Although, Joey gets to do this podcast. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he gets to read the excerpt from 50 Shades of Grey. That's exciting.
So he wins, too.
Yeah. And we're all winners here.
Yeah, okay.
Listen, you know what? That was a fun little opening to the show. It's going to get a little weird for a minute, but I don't care. This is something that I wanted to bring up, as I said at the beginning of the show. I feel like a lot of people didn't hear about this. And I don't understand why, because to me, it's a bombshell, really. Like, honestly, it's a bombshell. The Smoking Gun, which has been a website that I think has just been around since the internet's been around, basically. I remember looking at, like, mugshots on it as a kid. Like, Tupac in the morgue, shit like that.
Famous Tupac in the morgue photo.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was on The Smoking Gun.
Yeah.
So I was flipping around the other day, and I came across this article called Witness 40, Exposing a Fraud in Ferguson. And I was like, well, that's interesting. Let me see what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking Gun, as you guys know, the Ferguson grand jury, all the jurors are secret. You're not supposed to know their names. They did a little bit of research, though, the Smoking Gun, and they came up with who Witness 40 was. If you're not familiar why I keep saying Witness 40, Witness 40 is the person that was mentioned directly in Bob McCullough's statement that he made after the Michael Brown they chose not to indict.
Okay.
Fox News has used the Witness 40 testimony as sort of their basis for being like, see, Michael Brown was doing this, and the other thing.
All right.
This article on Smoking Gun debunks and basically throws completely into question the legitimacy of the testimony that Witness 40 would have given, and we're going to get into that in a second. Basically, what Witness 40 said, and it's this woman, Sandra McElroy, she said that Michael Brown got into a football stance and charged at Darren Wilson as opposed to having his hands up, which a lot of people did say in their testimony. But this is the one that they chose to really stick with, and we're going to go through why this woman is not credible and why it's a fucking sham. It's so crazy that this happened.
Okay.
You're just waiting?
I was just like, the fact that, wait, he got down in like a 4-point, like,
exactly.
She said
he got down like, yeah, then, well, I have her quote. Yeah. So I'll read it. But yeah, that's what she said happened.
Why would somebody do that, though?
Great question. Who knows?
It doesn't make any sense.
I also want to preface this with saying Bob McCullough, the same day this article came out, he gave an interview for the first time and he said, yeah, I knowingly put people in front of the grand jury who I knew were lying, but I figured it was just the right thing to do so they could have all the information.
That.
That's almost verbatim what the guy said. Like, how does that make sense?
That's not good.
No, like, yeah, I know they're full of shit, but let's see if these people that are not trained in any way to sift through facts can tell if they're lying. Like, what are you talking about? Okay, this is the first article of this the first paragraph of this article. The grand jury witness who testified that she saw Michael Brown pummel a cop before charging at him, quote, like a football player, head down, is a troubled, bipolar Missouri woman with a criminal past who has a history of making racist remarks and once insinuated herself into another high-profile St. Louis criminal case with claims that police eventually dismissed as a, quote, complete fabrication. Okay. In the weeks, now I've taken like bits from the article. It's a longer article, but I've taken like highlights of this thing or lowlights, as the case may be, about why this woman's credibility is just it's crazy and that they would even consider accepting what she would have to say. In the weeks after Brown's shooting, but before she contacted police, McElroy used her Facebook account to comment on the case.
Now, isn't that like a breach of protocol or something that you're
not
allowed?
Well, it's not because she's not. You would think so, but she hadn't testified at any point. She hadn't said anything. So she's just a citizen at this point.
Yeah, at this
She claims, though, that she was there and saw it happen live. Okay, so we'll get there. All right, so she's commenting on Facebook. On August 15th, she liked a Facebook comment reporting that Dorian Johnson, Michael Brown's friend, had admitted that he and Brown stole cigars before the confrontation with Wilson. August 17th, a Facebook commenter wrote that Johnson and others should be arrested for inciting riots and giving false statements to police. McElroy commented, the report and autopsy are in, so yes, they were false. This appears to be, the article says, this appears to be an odd comment from someone who claims to have been present during the shooting. Right, why would she need to wait until the autopsy report are in to know whether their hands are up or not? If she saw it, what's the problem?
Yeah.
On August 17th, she posted, prayers support, God bless Officer Wilson. Now, at this point, she still hasn't even talked to anybody about being there. Commenting on a September 12th Riverfront Times story reporting that Ferguson city officials had yet to meet with Brown's family, McElroy wrote, now, and this is where you go, wow, this is crazy. She wrote, but haven't you heard the news? Their great, great, great grandpa may or may not have been owned by one of our great, great grandpas 200 years ago. Parentheses, sarcasm. So that's okay. A bit of a race, maybe racist. It's going to get a little worse later. On September 13th, McElroy went on a pro-Wilson Facebook page and posted a graphic that included a photo of Michael Brown lying dead in the street with a type overlay reading, Michael Brown already received justice, so please stop asking for it. Now, this is a person who has yet to go to the cops to give her side of the story, claims that she saw the thing go down, but is online basically posting that, like, Michael Brown deserved to be killed like an animal in the street. She thinks that that's justice. Great. So let's take her very seriously. The following week, McElroy responded to a Facebook post about the criminal record of Wilson's late mother. As a teenager, Mike Brown strong-armed a store, used drugs, hit a police officer, and received justice, spelled wrong, J-U-S-T-I-S. She's an idiot. On October 22nd, this is finally when she goes. So this is months now where she's thinking about going, I guess. On October 22nd, McElroy went to the FBI field office in St. Louis and was interviewed by an agent and two Department of Justice prosecutors. The day before that tape meeting, the St. Louis Dispatch, Post-Dispatch, published a lengthy story detailing exactly what Wilson told the police investigators about the Ferguson shooting. So this woman does not go to the police with any kind of story until Wilson's story has actually been published or posted online or in an article.
5 weeks later.
Yes. McElroy provided the federal investigators with an account that neatly tracked with Wilson's version of the fatal confrontation. She said the unarmed teenager gave Wilson a "What are you going to do about it?" look, and then bent down in a football position and began to charge at the officer. She also added he looked like he was on something. Okay. Investigators asked her about inconsistencies in her story. She replied, "I know what I seen. I know you don't believe me." Okay. Okay, so that's great. McElroy continues. But also, did you guys hear anything about this, by the way, before we even continue?
I did not, no.
It's so weird, and I didn't either. It just happened to be one day I was on The Smoking Gun, which I don't do a lot, and I just happened to come across this. Weird. This is what she said, why she was in Ferguson, which this is just...
Okay.
She was, quote, planning to pop in on a former high school classmate she had not seen in 26 years. Saddled with an incorrect address and no cell phone, she claims that she pulled over to smoke a cigarette and seek directions from a black man standing under a tree. It turns out at that point, that's exactly when the Wilson-Brown confrontation happened and she witnessed the shooting take place. When she was testifying in front of the grand jury, for whatever reason, that day they were scheduled to end at 2:30 p.m. That was just like a fact of the thing. Some of the jurors had to go somewhere, whatever. So her testimony came to an abrupt end. She says to the grand jury at this point, on August 9th, after this happened when I got home, I wrote everything down on a piece of paper. Would that be easier if I brought that in? Because that's how I make sure I don't get things confused, because then it'll be word for word.
Oh,
she didn't bother mentioning that to the FBI people she spoke the day before.
Right.
But she tells the jury, oh yeah, I wrote down exactly what happened. Okay, so she has this already written down from August 9th. She doesn't bother to show back up until 11 days later with the journal pages with a revamped story. She corrected it a little bit. She wrote, okay. So that's insane. Now let's get a little background about this person. She was diagnosed as bipolar when she was 16 and hasn't taken medicine for 25 years.
Oh, nice.
She told grand jurors that she was seriously injured in a car crash on Valentine's Day in 2001. She said she was catapulted through the windshield and testified that she has struggled with a faulty memory since the accident. Do you understand that they put a person who is, by definition, crazy, can't remember anything,
and use that as the
and
main
they use that
witness
as the main
testimony.
Thing that they're going to use to not indict this guy. All right, so they give a bunch of backstory in the article. Her and her husband filed for bankruptcy at one point. She has a lot of other like legal issues. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I bring this one up is because the McElroy bankruptcy filings were standard Chapter 13 fare, the article says, until the filing of a remarkable 2005 motion by the couple's attorney. The lawyer, Tracy Brown, sought court permission to withdraw from the bankruptcy case due to Sandra McElroy's behavior. Brown advised the court that McElroy had frequently called her office and berated a secretary. They also said that she repeatedly used profanity when speaking with the counselor's secretary, escalating to the use of racial slurs. So this woman's a fucking nut, and she's a racist, and we're going to get to why she's a racist in a second, and then we can kind of discuss it. But I just found this all just absolutely stunning. Wow. An examination of McElroy's YouTube page, which she apparently shares with one of her daughters, so there is a little bit of possibility that the daughter did it, but let's pretend that that's not true for now, reveals other evidence of racial animus. Next to a clip about the disappearance of a white woman who had a baby with a black man is the comment, "See what happens when you bed down with a monkey, have ape babies, and party with them?" A clip about the sentencing of two black women for murder is captioned, "Put them monkeys in a cage."
Jesus Christ.
Now, to me, that's pretty racist, right? To refer to black people as monkeys and apes and put them in a cage.
Yeah.
Okay, great. McElroy's YouTube page is filled with a variety of anti-Barack Obama videos. There's one of Michelle Obama's purportedly saying that Obama was born in Kenya. Like, it's that type of shit. She's just a nut. McElroy rarely uses Twitter, though she did post a message in late October in response to a news report that several Ferguson drug cases had to be dropped. And this is interesting, because Darren Wilson failed to show up for court hearings. Okay.
Huh.
Drug thug will be arrested again. Who cares? Wrote McElroy. In early 2007, this is the topper on the cake. In early 2007, she fabricated a bizarre story in the wake of the rescue of Sean Hornbeck, a St. Louis boy who had been held captive for more than 4 years by what? You know something about this story?
Yeah, well, I just remember it because I lived there during the time, and I remember this kid, like, what? I don't know. It's just a very strange story. Look it up if you want. Google it.
Look into it.
Yeah.
This kid he was captive for 4 years by this guy named Michael Devlin, who was a resident of Kirkwood where this woman lives.
Mm-hmm.
She got in there and claims that she knew the kid. And they were like, no, you don't. You're completely making this up. And she just kept that going for months. And it details it more in the article if you read it.
That's unbelievable.
So she has a pattern.
So she was trying to get in on that case too?
Exactly.
The high profile cases that happen in St. Louis, because these areas are all very close to each other. St. Louis, Kirkwood, Ferguson.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like a half hour away or whatever.
Yeah. It's,
right.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so she tried to get involved in that case. So that's a fucking gigantic red flag. The final thing that I'm going to read about this, and I really, you guys should go read the article because it's crazy, and share it with people because this is fucking insane. The opening entry in McElroy's journal on the day Brown died declared, "Well, I'm going to take my random drive to Florissant," which I assume is an area close to there. "Need to understand the black race better, so I stop calling blacks niggers and start calling them people." That's the fucking opening sentence of her journal. And this is the person that they allowed to help get this guy not indicted. I mean, an out-and-out racist and a crazy person and a person that tries to get involved in high-profile cases. And the article details that she loves crime dramas and shit like that. She's just a nut. She wants to get involved.
Yeah, she just wants to be involved in a dramatic case. Like, she's just like that delusional that...
She's delusional,
The stuff she sees on TV... She needs to take into her own life.
Yeah.
That's like what a crazy person does.
No, absolutely.
I'm totally.
The only problem with that is that's what a crazy person does, and you can
right, you can't you take can't, what they're saying realistically. No. You just can't, especially if she's not on medicine. It's different if she had been on medication or whatever, but she probably wouldn't fucking be doing crazy shit like
that. Right, and the fact that like they didn't think about the Hornbeck case right away and be like, oh, she was trying to get involved then, and like we proved a million times that she had no idea what she was talking about. She probably wasn't even fucking there.
No, she, I mean, I would bet my fucking left nut she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't
no,
there.
Like, no way.
No, and McCullough said, he was like, yeah, we put people that we knew were lying, but, you know.
I'm totally flabbergasted. I can't believe that they used this woman who, like, there wasn't a psychiatrist that took a look at this and said, this witness should be thrown out. It somehow, like, just, it's too much to take away from the case of what actually happened.
Yeah, no, look, I completely agree with you.
It's unbelievable.
It's just it's mind-blowing.
And the fact that the journal entry, which she probably wrote after the fact, says her random drive, though, that makes no sense.
Well, that
who goes on random drives?
Well, I mean, that's probably the most believable thing.
No, you don't go on random drives to Florissant. That's for damn sure.
Oh, is that, it's a bad area?
Yeah, you don't want to go there.
Okay. Well, but in any event, so yeah, so there you go. So that's witness 40. So when you hear people be, you know, say, oh, his hands weren't up. Well, that's really still not clear. And actually, I think if PBS put out a chart that had witness testimony saying what they said over a period of time, mm-hmm. and I think the majority of it is actually that his hands were up or not in a threatening manner,
yeah.
You know?
And also the fact that they even listened to this woman 5 weeks after the incident,
right,
to then take her statement is insane.
5 weeks after the incident, and then another 11 days or something when she showed back up with her documentation in the journal that she wrote.
Which
is like, and the article says that. It's like, it's so painfully obvious that she wrote it well after the fact, or like the day after. They were like, they should have checked to see if the ink was still wet. That's how obvious it was.
Right.
Well, I was hoping they would carbon date that.
Well, they don't care. They're not really interested. But that's again, this is what we're talking about. It's a lack of justice. They don't give a shit. It's a lack of justice. They're not trying to. Wow. Crazy.
You can't admit now the fucking mistake you made. Like, you got to just hope people forget about it and move on. Which is sad, but you know that that's the case. Like, we can't go back now and say, like, this was the biggest case in the fucking world for like a couple weeks. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just amazing to me. Yeah,
but what's also shocking is the fact that it's not being reported on at all.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't understand. I mean, like, that I really don't get. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I read it, I think Saturday night. I was just flipping around and I saw it, like, late. And I was, like, screaming by myself. I was like, I want to do a podcast right now. Like, I have to talk about this. It's crazy. I tweeted it and I was like, this is surreal. It's surreal. It's just absolutely stunning. It just doesn't make any sense.
Witness 40.
Sandra McElroy. Remember that name when you're having conversations at Christmas. Hey, Sandra McElroy, that nut. Yeah, she's the one that said he charged at Wilson like a football player, because nobody else fucking said that.
Right.
But they were very willing to discredit some of the other people that gave testimony. They were like, no, it's pretty clear he changed the story. He's lying. This woman, it couldn't be clearer. She's a fucking lunatic. Amazing. All right. So, yeah, I had to bring that up. That's so crazy. Oh, yeah, God. It's astounding.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All right. So I brought this other story. Obviously, the big news in New York, in Brooklyn over the last week, was that the two police officers were executed essentially by a crazy person.
Yeah.
Which is tragic and it's sad. And
a very crazy person, it seems.
Yes, a very crazy person.
Yeah.
And in the context of this, though, mm-hmm. I want to talk about kind of the response from the police association, the guy Pat Lynch, the PBA like leader,
okay,
the mayor's response and some other stuff, because I found the response to it to be almost more troubling than the death of these two cops, who obviously it's sad they don't deserve to be dead right before Christmas. You know, it's just like it's a fucking tragedy. But the way that people responded to it, I think, is almost even crazier than what happened there. Well, what do you know the story, right, Joey? Like,
from what I understand, there was this guy who was crazy.
Yeah.
Who posted on Facebook.
Ishmael Brimsley.
Who, I think he got out of Atlanta or something.
Yeah, he was from Baltimore.
So apparently from what I heard, Baltimore calls New York and says, hey, look out for this guy. He's coming in New York City.
Right.
And then he ends up coming to New York City and he just shoots the two cops.
Yeah, but did you hear what happened about that warning?
No, I did not.
They faxed it up here, which I don't know why they didn't
call. Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, who faxes?
Why wouldn't you just text somebody like or call somebody? Be like, hey, I need a cop's number in Brooklyn. Because they knew he was going to Brooklyn specifically.
Right.
Oh, that's
right,
good.
Right.
Yeah, so, but I guess the fax came in, allegedly it came in 5 minutes after when they think the shooting happened.
Because
they can pinpoint that shooting down to like...
Yeah.
Within 10 minutes of it happening. And right. They said Christ. The fax supposedly came in like 5 minutes after.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy the fact that they faxed something up.
Why would you? Right,
here.
You're right. Why not just call the police station and be like, hey, like we're in Baltimore. Just a little heads up. This crazy guy said he wants to put wings on pigs today.
He's coming to you.
So
he's
why
coming
you
to
just,
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Just keep your eye on him.
Yeah, but no, we didn't do that. We faxed a wanted poster like it's the goddamn Wild West or something.
Like, right, yeah. A pony showed up 25 minutes after the shooting.
We really thought that was going to work. We sent a carrier pigeon and everything.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Just to back
it
up.
So strange.
Yeah.
Oh, but the cops' names, by the way, are Wenjin Liu and Rafael Ramos. So obviously a tragedy. That's sad that they've been killed like this.
So basically it's just they were in the wrong place. This guy was crazy and went there and shot two people.
All it
happened to be cops.
They could have been anybody, yeah.
It was because they were sitting in the police car with their uniforms on. It could have been any two cops sitting in that car.
Yeah, he was just on a mission to go do something.
Yeah, they were just where he happened to turn the corner and that was it.
Yeah. And he had also shot his ex-girlfriend or something in Baltimore, came to New York.
Yeah.
So it's like, so this guy's a nut.
And he was in jail in Atlanta too, though. You were right.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, is that right? That's right.
He had like 9 different cases down in Georgia.
So this guy's a psycho.
So when you have an individual who keeps on repeating these tendencies, again, the system's broken. This man should have not been on the streets to been able to go to Brooklyn to shoot these two cops.
Well, I don't know what the other... reasons he was in jail.
Well, shooting your wife has got to be.
He had
bad.
A couple.
But he did that. But they didn't catch him on that. He did that in the morning and then drove to New York and killed the cops and then killed himself.
Oh, it was the same day.
Yeah, it was all the same day. In Atlanta, he had a couple assault cases, a couple one with a weapon. But started out with like robberies and then I think he robbed a bank or something.
Right. So
later.
It's like he got jail time, but that's not something, in my opinion, that you would put someone in jail for life for.
I mean, an
attempted murder. You're in jail forever.
Well, if they would have caught him for shooting his girlfriend before he went to New York, he was definitely going away forever.
No,
that would have been his, I'm guessing, more than his third felony case in a row. And you know that three strikes rule. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of the backstory of the whole thing. Tragic. But I wanted to bring up Pat Lynch, the PBA union leader, the Policeman's Benevolent Association.
He's the leader of the Policeman Benevolent Orchestra.
What is that?
The maestro from Seinfeld.
I don't know. I haven't watched Seinfeld.
Sorry.
It's fine.
It was supposed to be serious.
Or whatever. That was my attempt at the Seinfeld thing.
That was so sad.
I'm on a lot of NyQuil. So anyway, I wanted to play the clip of Pat Lynch and then we can talk about that. And also there's a memo that the PBA denies that they sent this memo out. But it's a memo that's out there, and I got it from two sources, AOL, Gothamist, and other places I've mentioned it. So it's out there. But let's play this clip of, oh God, I'm not prepared at all. I didn't even plug in, I didn't plug in my little drive. I have to get it, so you're going to have to talk for a second. But I'm going to play a clip of Pat Lynch as soon as I get it. It's so unprofessional.
Oh, I thought he had to leave the room. It's not that unprofessional. It is in his backpack, on the couch behind him. Anyway.
Wasn't there something else about him posting something on Facebook that he was going to go do this?
Yeah, he posted on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, it was Instagram?
Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, it's not funny, but the thing I was thinking about was like, because they showed a picture of that, they screenshotted it.
Yeah.
People liked the post.
My God.
You
got to
feel like a real
good.
Dickbag for liking that post.
Oh, yeah, and he posted a picture of his gun.
Yeah, too. It was a gun, and it was like, I'm going to put wings on pigs today.
No,
like,
but then he also posted a picture of his shoes saying something about how he has like pig blood on his shoes, because I guess this was right after he shot them. So he, right after he committed the murder, he took time to Instagram that, because they caught him like they were on him within seconds.
So here's my question.
So then he ran to a subway platform underground and that's where he shot himself.
Yeah.
Can't you be tracked by the cell phone, though? So the moment you posted that Instagram, shouldn't that be software or something?
No, but
you
this is within, hours. Like... Yeah. No, not hours. This was, like... He killed himself in a subway, like right by the crime scene. Like this was a couple of minutes.
I was under the impression that he posted that and then killed the girlfriend, and then came to New York.
He posted the picture of the gun.
Uh-huh.
before or after he killed the girlfriend.
Okay.
Maybe after,
probably
whatever.
Probably after, right?
Probably after. And then he comes up to New York, he shoots the two cops, and then within, like, before the 5 minutes that he kills himself on the platform, he takes a picture of his shoes after he kills the cop, and because he had, like, some blood on his shoes.
Well, he posted it from the girlfriend's account, which is, something I read, or from her phone.
So, and it said, had the track thing on, like, you know, where it shows your location, it said Baltimore.
Okay, so it was from, so it was from her phone, so it wouldn't have made a difference.
Gotcha.
All right, I have the clip up here. This is Pat Lynch, this is, like, a couple of minutes. It's interesting, then we'll get into the whole, the aftermath.
But this is going to be the fun episode.
That became part of the NYPD family.
I know, I feel bad, but I can't help it. Like, shit happened, you know? I gotta talk about it when it's happening this week. All right.
Every police officer that lined these streets today with sadness in their eyes to show respect as we carry two hero police officers out of this hospital. We will shoulder the burden for these families each and every day for the rest of their lives. Generations of police officers will know their names and hold them close to their hearts and educate our children about the sacrifice they made. There's blood on many hands tonight. Those that incited violence on the street under the guise of protest, that tried to tear down what New York City police officers did every day. We tried to warn, it must not go on, it cannot be tolerated. That blood on the hands starts on the steps of City Hall in the office of the mayor. Starting today, we started the mourning for our brother police officers. Their heroes, their fathers, their brothers, their children. That's the men we lost today. So starting in the next couple of hours and going for a number of days, New York City police officers, through their sadness, will straighten their shoulders, stiffen their backs, and mourn for these families. We'll mourn for our city, and we'll mourn for our brothers. When these funerals are over, those responsible will be called on the carpet and held accountable. We ask every person in the city to bow their heads tonight and pray for our families.
All right. I mean, that's basically the gist of it. Any initial reaction to that? I feel like that was sort of inflammatory rhetoric coming from the guy.
Yeah. Well, who is he? He was the police commissioner?
He's the PBA. He's the police union head, Pat Lynch.
Oh, okay.
I thought the first half of the speech was well done. I agreed with it. And all of a sudden, it seems like he took a sharp left. And talking about blood on the hands and something about the mayor of the office.
Yeah,
I'm confused on where he was trying to go.
Well, he's blaming the protesters
and the
mayor for saying that his son is black and like he probably should be a little worried when he's talking to the cops. Yeah. They're blaming the protests and that for the death of these two cops, which is...
They have nothing to do with each other.
Outlandish, especially because the protests have been nothing but peaceful in New York. There's been no problem at all.
No, they haven't.
And the families of the victims, particularly Garner's wife and everything, they came out and said that they want nothing but peace.
Yeah.
They don't want any kind of problem. So that's crazy, which is why I wanted to bring that up. Yeah, I mean, it's just inflammatory rhetoric. Doesn't make sense. And I think de Blasio did the right thing. He should bring something up about his kid. If he really feels that way, then go for it. That's fine. We got a bell outside. I'm getting distracted. It's all right. The other thing I wanted to bring up. So now, okay, so he said that. So in that context, he says he's going to call them to the carpet, which I don't really understand what that means, but I guess he's going to try to, like, hurt the protesters somehow? Like,
no, I think he said the people who are... I'm guessing called to the carpet. I'm guessing that's a legal thing, like a legal expression of being,
I don't know,
being called, like, to, like, you're going to face a judge or something. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
That's what it sounded like.
Well, I will say, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, well, here, I'll read this memo to you and you can kind of maybe get more of an idea of what he was talking about. I will say that at this point, this was over the last couple of days. Now they've said that they're, quote, standing down, the police unit. But like, okay, you already said the shit. This is the supposed memo, which again, I'm going to say the PBA has denied that they sent this out. But officers off the record have said, yeah, this is a thing that got sent around. It says, starting immediately, at least two units are to respond to every call, no matter the condition or severity, no matter what type of job is pending or what the opinion of the patrol supervisor happens to be. In addition, absolutely no enforcement action in the form of arrests and or summonses is to be taken unless absolutely necessary and an individual must be placed under arrest. These are precautions that were taken in the 1970s when police officers were ambushed and executed on a regular basis. The mayor's hands are literally dripping with our blood because of his words, actions, and policies, and we have, for the first time in a number of years, become a, quote, wartime police department. We will act accordingly, forward message in its entirety to any and all, and then it gets cut off there. Now, gotcha.
To me, this seems like a coup d'etat thing where it makes no sense. Like, are they afraid that people are going to take this and just continue to shoot cops and there's going to be a war all out on cops and they're trying to prevent that?
That's what it seems like, and that's how they're choosing to respond to a crazy person. And I have an interesting kind of way to, like, frame that argument. But, yeah, they're like, it's wartime on who? On black people? On the protesters? Like, what are you talking about? On the citizens? That's not acceptable from the fucking police.
Yeah, no, it's certainly.
So they're denying that, and they've said they're going to stand down now. But I don't know, man. To me,
stand
that's
down
just,
from what?
Right from shit they didn't
doing
say.
That?
Right, yeah, exactly.
You had one guy who's criminally insane go to Brooklyn just to shoot two cops.
Right.
I don't see how they're drawing these conclusions.
Well, no, but because they're drawing the conclusions because that's the conclusion they want to draw. I have other clips. We don't have to play them. It's fine because we will get to other stuff. Rudy Giuliani was on TV, you know, basically saying that, you know, he thinks de Blasio's done a terrible job and this and that. I also have a clip of Pat Lynch then in 2007 saying that he thinks Giuliani's an asshole and shouldn't be president, but we don't have to get into the whole thing. The final thing I wanted to bring up about this. My point being, though, you're right. Yeah, it's a crazy person comes to New York. They're going to choose to blame it on the protesters. When a crazy kid gets a gun and goes into a school and shoots everybody, and people on the left want to blame the NRA and things like that, people go, no, it's just a crazy person. You can't do that. But they're willing to do it in this case, right? Yeah. Why isn't Fox going, no, you can't do that. You can't blame it on, you know? They're not going to say that about this case because it just cuts the opposite way, but it's the same argument. It's the same logic where you're using... Thing. You're saying this is the fault of a larger group. Well, maybe there's outside factors, but it's the crazy person that's perpetrating the act. We can't, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And yeah, fucking a fax is probably what really could have been something that would have gone differently with this thing. Fucking I do want to say de Blasio calls for a pause in protest until the funerals are over. I disagree with that. I think the protest should continue. It would be cool as a PR thing for the protest to say, yeah, you know what? We are going to protest because out of respect to the cops.
Which they should do.
Cool. I don't think they should do. I think it's something they could do. But why would you do it? Especially after the reaction from the PBA where they're trying to blame it on the protesters.
Yeah.
If you stop protesting during these funerals, they go, well, why are they doing that? You see? They must feel guilty. Like it lends credence that if he didn't come out and do that, then maybe you go, yeah, okay, that'd be a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of put them in
catch 22 either way.
Exactly, put them in an untenable situation.
True,
the whole thing. But anyway, I mean, it's a fucking shit situation to begin with. But you know, that's my two cents about it.
See, my question is, what could you do to avoid this from happening again?
What? Avoid what from happening again?
Some crazy person running up to Brooklyn and shooting people.
Well, I mean, again, like we said, don't fax the fucking... If you know a crazy person's on the loose, like...
Call.
Yeah.
Yeah, get on the phone. I
We've
just
had
understand.
That advantage for many years now.
right. Yeah, I mean, you can email, you can do a lot of stuff. Right.
That's quicker than a fax.
Yeah, you could have emailed.
I remember reading that, being like, why would they do that?
Mm-mm. And that's a good what?
Because
like
it's
3-hour
true,
trip.
Probably. What?
That has to be a good 3-hour trip, right? From down there to
at least. Yeah. Well, I don't know how he came. I don't know if he came by train or something, but
I think they said he drove up.
Okay, so you're
like
talking three, four hours, maybe if traffic, whatever. Yeah. Right. They probably could have got on a train or just driven there. They could have beaten him there.
Yeah.
They could have hand delivered the note. It's just, it's really weird. Yeah.
Or not even written a note if they were going to hand deliver it. Just walk in and be like, hey, dude, there's
a
crazy guy.
Yeah, there's
like,
a crazy guy.
I think we passed him on 95, actually.
Right.
Why didn't you get him there? Oh, I guess we weren't thinking about that.
Right.
We just wanted to warn you.
Very, very weird. So anyway, so not to make light, obviously, of the cops getting killed. That's terrible.
A sham.
The protesters what are they called? The I Can't Breathe group or one of the group, Black Lives Matter, whatever. They came out categorically rejected the notion that they're calling for violence or it's anti-cop. It's not anti-cop.
Yeah.
It's pro-justice, really. And it's equal. Anyway, whatever. So anyway, so that's the wrap up with that. But I figured we had to get into it a little bit. The last thing I have really, before we get into anything else is the interview thing. Do you want to get into this? I brought the Kim Jong-un death scene. The reason why North Korea is supposedly mad about it. I got it.
You want to watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it up.
Do you have something on the interview? You want to do a little backstory on it or what?
Well, I actually had an update.
Oh,
it turns out that they are going to show the interview in select theaters.
They are.
There's one theater in Texas.
The Alamo Draft House.
The Alamo Draft House. And there's another in Atlanta. It's the Plaza or something.
Okay.
Now, see, to me...
So it's just coming...
No, it's coming out to a select theaters.
But those are two that
there's two of them I know
of. The Draft House is a comedy club, isn't it? Like Arlington Draft House in D.C.?
That might be a different thing. The Alamo Draft House is like a chain of... places, yeah, where it's like they have like cool
different
indie
movies,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Tarantino owns one actually in L.A.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Now, see, to me, I don't understand why you would only do a select and not nationwide, because the way I would look at it is, hey, now we know that there's a limited amount of theaters that this is showing. What if something were to happen?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess.
So if they want a target, they have an easier amount of target.
Yeah, they narrowed it down a lot easier.
So are they narrowing
AMC doesn't
down.
Want them, though. They said they weren't going to play
them. So they're
AMC
not going to play
Regal,
it.
So.
Oh, okay.
So they have a limited amount of theaters that they can play.
What about Werenberg theaters? What about those?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. That venue.
See, because...
They're all over St. Louis and the Midwest for the most part.
Oh, no, I've never heard of them. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they might be in like more independent theaters. That's a good point, Joey. It's pretty insightful. You're right.
That
so
is
now,
insightful.
Now the GOP, Guardians of Peace,
yes,
know the select theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do something?
No. That's. I don't think anything was going to get done to begin with. Why would they do it?
Or should there be a police
presence?
Police presence. Yes. Thank you.
At those theaters.
At the theaters that show it.
I would say sure.
I think there's probably going to be, yeah, but I doubt it's a problem. I mean, like, I really don't think it's going to be a big deal. I mean, I'd be surprised, I think.
And were they saying they were going to attack fucking movie theaters or do an attack on the United States?
Yeah, I think
the quote was to stay away from places that would be playing the movie, and if you live near one, don't be by it.
Yeah, so every mall in the world, they're going to blow up. It's like, come on.
Yeah,
it's bullshit.
Okay, all right. Let's.
So yeah, let's
do
watch
this.
This is going to be worthless for people listening, but we'll kind of explain what's happening. Basically, it's a helicopter that gets hit with a missile, and Kim Jong-un burns to death. And there's a cool song in the background. And I pulled this off the internet, and I don't think this is actually part of the scene. But some guy wrote, "Fuck you, Kim Jong-un, die, you fat bitch."
Yeah,
but I don't think that's part
it's
of the
going
movie.
Across the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, that was just the uploader decided to take a little artistic license. All right, so this is the death scene that got everybody all upset.
Slow moving bullet,
and it's hit the side of the copter.
Oh, copter's blowing up.
Huge explosion. Kim Jong-un screaming. Up, his face is rippling with the heat and wind off the bullet.
Beautiful ashes flying.
Now his hair has caught fire a little bit. He is on fire. And the flames have engulfed him, and you see a big blood splatter. And that's it.
Why that for that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Stupid. And actually, based on that scene, I bet that movie sucks.
Yeah, I bet it's not a good movie.
No.
From everything I read, they said that it was a dud, and this is only going to help them make to recoup what they would have lost if there wasn't such a huge backstory to it and people trying to not have it be shown. In
how much does this movie cost? Do we know?
What the budget was? No, I'm not sure. It was something
too
like
much?
20, probably like 20, I'm guessing.
Because I'm thinking like they're not going to be able to make back that money, no matter what they do.
No, I think they're going to get a lot. I think a lot more people are going to see it because there's like this interest now. Like, oh, how bad could this movie, like how, like, you know, like fucked up could they have made it?
That's true.
That everyone's, you know, trying to get it.
That everybody's trying.
Yeah, it's like a lot of free advertising. It doesn't say on Box Office Mojo. That's where I go for all that information. I guess it's not on there because it hasn't been released yet. They don't say. But whatever. I mean, yeah, I would guess it's probably in the $30 to $40 million range or something like
and
that.
And then apparently,
Seth Rogen and James Franco, yeah, probably.
Because they probably make $10 million each, something like that.
Yeah.
And also, they're supposed to release it on a video on demand service, but they don't know which one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This whole story's stupid, frankly. Like, they should have just released it. It was cool that Obama came out and was like, hey, you fucked up, Sony. Bad job. Because, of course, he's going to throw them under the bus now. They were making fun of him in the emails. It's probably Seth.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nope.
Django Unchained was not my favorite. I like Steel Magnolia. I'm sensitive.
The decision and the hack will be will be costly to Sony. We can look at comparable films to come up with an estimate of how much The Interview might have made in theaters had it been released under normal circumstances. The answer, $100 million, give or take.
Right.
So it still makes the money. That's fine.
Who knows? And my dad brought up a point. He was saying if they didn't release it at all and like the theaters weren't going to allow it, they could collect insurance on the movie. It's different if they actually get it out now. They're going to get like less insurance money. Mm. So whatever, but they have to do it because if the fucking president says like, hey, you guys messed up here. Yeah. They kind of have to put it out. So whatever. I mean, the movie's probably going to be fine, but I don't think it deserved all this like craziness. And North Korea, again, still kind of unclear whether they did it or not. And I don't think they're going to. What are they going to do? They're going to fucking bomb us. They can't hit South Korea, and they're right next to it.
No. Right. And I think they've long understood, like, we've told them before, like, you want to talk shit, like, try it.
Right.
Try it.
Right. The only thing that keeps them at all, like, out of the sights of the rest of the world is that they have a nuclear weapon.
Does everybody else. And we have, like, 400 times more probably.
Yeah, well, and their ability to get it anywhere, that's the issue. Like, yeah, they have one, but what are you gonna fucking do with it? Yeah, North Korea,
you gonna throw it over here?
They'd have to get a bunch of them to run it over.
Yeah.
So you guys know what happened in North Korea yesterday, right?
What happened, Jim?
The internet was knocked out for 9.5 hours, and they don't know if it was a DOS attack, if they did it themselves, if China was involved. Still nobody knows, but the entire country didn't have internet for 9.5 hours.
Two questions. What kind of internet does North Korea really have?
Yeah.
And the second question is, who actually has access to it in North Korea?
Okay. Very few people do have
They did not notice
True. Very few people do have access to it. But the interesting thing is that it's provided by only one internet provider, and that's China's, Unicon. Okay. So China's the one who feeds them the internet.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I really have no more information about that. I don't know.
Now, the interesting thing that I read in the article, too, is apparently in South Korea, there is a nuclear power plant.
In South Korea?
South Korea.
Yeah.
And apparently Data has disappeared.
The android from Star Trek? What does that have to do
with this? No. Data, as in terms of...
You guys couldn't see it, but I got really excited and Chris made that right.
Andy liked that.
Yes.
Data has disappeared off the South Korea... What do you mean? Out of the South Korean nuclear plant?
Yes.
What do you mean? Like, what data?
Data on how the planet was, running and this and that. They don't know who did it, but they didn't point to North Korea. But I thought that was interesting.
That's interesting.
Data just disappears from a nuclear power plant.
The problem with nuclear power, it is probably the cleanest power that we have available to us, like to be able to power a lot of stuff. But if you fuck up once, it's a 1,000-year problem. You just let a sun explode on Earth. Like, that's what nuclear power is, essentially. Like, so, Dan, that's what happened in fucking Fukushima. You think that shit's done? It's not done.
Nope.
They're just pouring nuclear water into the ocean.
Half-Life suck.
Merry Christmas, everybody. No. It's dangerous.
So.
Well, this was fun. This was part of the fun part, I feel like, right?
We're an hour in, almost.
Yeah.
So back to Christmas?
This is the Christmas episode.
Hey, okay. So
what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So is it time for me to make it Christmassy?
Yes, Christmas from here on out. In fact, never mind. Yes, Christmas.
Okay. What were you going to say? Right.
So I have a bunch of movies.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about this. Okay, so here, all right. Yeah. So we have about... 20, give or take 20 minutes, because we got in the conversation coming in. Damian Lemon, Ali Muhammad, and Vlad Kamanya, they're coming in at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we got to get out of here in a little bit. It's 5:38 in real time right now on a Tuesday. So, all right. So just the wrap up. You're going to do this thing, whatever this movie thing you set up.
The Christmas movie.
And then Joey is going to read a passage from 50 Shades of Grey.
Ooh,
now,
yeah.
Do we have a song to end this episode, Andy?
Yes.
Would you like to reveal what that song is?
Yeah. Okay, so something else I'm really excited about. This weekend, I happened to be watching TV, which I just found this this show that said Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers live from the Fillmore in 1999, and I watched it all the way through, and it was amazing.
Okay.
And so the song is from that. It's actually a Bo Diddley cover, and they have him come out and play it with Tom Petty.
Was that Palladia? Cool. Were you watching Palladia?
Yes.
That channel fucking rules.
Yeah. It's yes, great. That's what it was on. Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. And then I watched another movie after that was completely unrelated. But like that's very not like me to sit down and watch two movies in a row. But anyway, we'll get into that later. So yeah, the song is called Hey Mona. It's a cover originally by Bo Diddley, but this is the version of him and Tom Petty doing it live at the Fillmore in San Francisco.
Okay, fantastic. So we'll end the episode with that. All right, Joey, go ahead. Do what you gotta do here, bud.
So I have a bunch of movies. You can say what you want about them. If you like them, if you don't like them, you never saw it. You did see it.
Okay.
Then after the entries, you can either add to it.
Okay, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, that's fine. And I want to pick the five must-see out of
And these are Christmas movies.
Christmas movies.
How big a list you got here?
A few movies. I didn't count them all.
All right, good. You have 4 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. A Christmas Story. It's a Wonderful Life. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2. Die Hard 1, Die Hard 2.
Die Hard?
Die Hard. Takes place on Christmas. They have a Christmas party.
I don't think it
has been widely regarded as a Christmas movie. I will give you that.
And we can argue if it makes the top five.
Okay.
Batman Returns.
No.
Yes.
Batman Returns.
There's a Christmas scene.
But that's not Christmas a Christmas tree. Movie.
Doesn't matter. Christmas is happening. So maybe it doesn't make
There's
it.
There's a million movies that have Christmas in them.
Just Friends. Uh-huh. Iron Man 3.
Just Friends, refresh my memory, Ryan Reynolds?
Yes, it is Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, that is a Christmas movie, right? Because doesn't he go home for Christmas?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
But can I tell you something about Just Friends, that fucking movie? Uh-huh. I slept over at a lady's house at one point, and the movie, we were watching that, I guess, before we went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And when I woke up in the morning, I was like up, and I couldn't really like fall asleep, but I didn't feel like getting out of bed, but it was on the DVD menu, and it just kept looping the same scene over and over again.
Which scene was it?
Nothing. It was just the fucking whatever the DVD menu was. Over and over. I wanted to kill myself.
There is nothing worse than the DVD menu screen on in the morning when you don't want to get out of bed. But
so
you have to at one
point.
You
got to stop it.
I probably let it go for about an hour and a half. And then I was like, all right, fine.
Okay.
Because the remote was nowhere near me. And I was like, I can't do this.
Iron Man 3. Lethal Weapons.
I mean,
Lethal Weapons, yes.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
I'll give you Iron Man 3 too. It was a big Christmas present.
Yes. Well, we're going to do the top five. I'm just naming
Okay,
the
I already
movies.
Have my top five, so go ahead.
You can't. There's so many more.
Go
I hear
ahead.
You. Okay. Gremlins.
No.
You don't remember Gremlins?
I remember Gremlins. You don't remember Gremlins?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
How dare you?
One of my favorites, Bad Santa. Yes. I feel Bad Santa should definitely be in the top five.
All right.
Yep.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
The
now,
Jim Carrey version?
I don't know. Which version you want to throw up there?
Animated version.
Yeah. Animated version. Okay. Goodbye, Jim Carrey.
Say it again?
Animated.
Yeah, animated. Yep.
Yeah, animated. Rocky IV.
Hell yeah.
And do you know
That's
why?
That's my number one.
Do you know why? Do you know why?
Why?
The box match takes place on
Christmas
Day.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, bro.
Okay.
Black. If he could change, and I could change, we all could change.
Black Christmas.
What's Black that? Christmas.
It's a horror movie from 1974 in which everyone dies and takes place on Christmas.
Okay.
The Life of Brian.
Yeah.
Monty Python?
Yes, that's Monty Python.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Written by Dr. Dre.
The Santa Claus. Tim Allen.
Oh,
anyone?
Fuck that one. That one's
that
out.
One's out?
Out. Yeah.
I okay. like Tim Allen.
No.
No.
Yeah.
He was a wild card one, which
you
I
both said no.
Yeah, I'm
no,
out on that.
He's out on that one. So there's a wild card one, which you might like, Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, good one. I do like that.
Believe it or not, every scene in the movie has a Christmas tree in it.
Yes. That movie is good. It's a Kubrick movie, for those of you that don't know. And it's good, but he died before the final cut was made. So Spielberg like stepped in and cut part of it and like had to do with the end production of that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it probably could have been better if Kubrick obviously had lived, because every fucking thing that guy touches is gold. But I still enjoyed Eyes Wide Shut.
Okay.
Very erotic film. I enjoyed it.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Excuse me.
Trading Places. Scrooged.
Can I tell you something? This list is too long.
It is.
No, we're good. We're going to cut it down to 5.
Yeah, but you should have cut it down to like 10 or 15.
No, right? No. It gives us a
number
selection.
Number 77 on the list.
Yeah. It gives us a good selection.
At one point in Octopussy, James Bond mentions Christmas.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay, no. Like, how many more do you have?
5.
Do you have 5 more? But how are we ever going to remember all the ones on the list?
Elf.
Don't worry about it. Elf, okay.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
What?
Charlie Brown Christmas.
Okay, no, that one's out.
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way! No.
The Polar Express.
Didn't see it.
And last but not least, Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Mickey's Christmas Carol, okay.
Do you remember Mickey's Christmas Carol?
So what do you want us to do here? Okay. You want us to just name our top 5?
No, no, no. We collectively, us three, have to sit down and pick 5 movies.
Eyes Wide Shut.
That a must.
Iron Man 3.
No.
Good. Joey, why don't you, do you have answers to this or no?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple.
All right, good.
Okay.
This isn't in my wheelhouse, frankly.
No, I know that, it's not. Sometimes you got to compromise.
Okay. I have a very tight connection with the Polar Express as a book, not as a movie. Because we used to read it on Christmas Eve. So I can't put the movie in there, but I like the book.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a family memory thing.
That's fine.
Okay. So, nice. Yeah, it was nice. Now that I'm saying that, Rocky IV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I agree.
Think that's on there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, look, it's got everything you want on a Christmas. America versus Russia. Boxing. A drunk uncle. Like, yeah. This is what you want.
A robot or not that one?
The robots. Yes, I think the robot is in 4 because, yeah, he's helping him wash the car or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
And he loves Pauly. I don't remember if that's 4 or 3.
Look what Rocky bought with his money.
No, it's got to be 4, right? Because Apollo goes over there to try to convince Rocky to fight
and
Drago.
Dies.
He says no. Apollo gets killed during the exhibition. It's just an exhibition, you understand? And then they do have that look, and that's the Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Home Alone has to be on there.
That's fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Culkin.
Wait, which Home Alone? Home Alone 1 or Home Alone 2?
The first one.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, I didn't realize. I thought I was just throwing in my couple.
Well, okay, so that's Andy's couple. So you said Rocky 4.
Okay.
And Home Alone.
Joey, go ahead.
Okay. I want to throw Bad Santa.
All right.
Yep.
I'm going to throw Die Hard.
You're going to throw Die Hard, and I'm going to go with Eyes Wide Shut. Boom, we got our top 5 Christmas. The top 5 Christmas movies are not Christmas movies, really, but that's fine.
No, the 2 I picked are.
Yeah. All right. So good job, Joey. Yay. I don't know. That kind of, to me, if I had to call it, that flamed out.
Oh, wow.
Well, it did at the end when you said that.
Wow.
Oh, you thought that flew high and now it's...
No, but I thought like if we would have left it on the positive note, people would have been like, okay, I don't really understand what just happened, but it didn't take up too much time and it was okay.
Well, all right, I guess that's true.
I'll be honest with you, I'm just happy that A Christmas Story wasn't in the top 5.
Okay, good.
Okay, good, yeah. Well, listen, guys, if you enjoyed that segment, please get back to us and let us know what percentage of those movies you watched over the holiday season with your family and friends. I highly recommend watching Eyes Wide Shut with your family, your older relatives.
Everybody on Christmas. Yeah.
Great scene. At one point, there's a hooker that's collapsed by a pool table. There's a bit of an orgy scene.
You didn't feel anything about Edward Scissorhands, really?
No.
Tim Burton?
Nothing.
You didn't say Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, yes, I did.
Did you?
He did.
Takes place on Christmas.
Yeah,
and that's the reason why it snows on Christmas.
I got to take a fucking Kubrick movie overall.
Okay. Well, you could have had more than one, but you just don't want to play along. That's fine.
Clockwork Orange. Boom.
It's not a Christmas movie.
I think it is.
Okay.
All right. So that was fine. We have like a couple more minutes here. I just wanted to mention before we get to Joey reading fucking the excerpt, which is going to take forever.
Look, the only child's taking over the show.
Oh yeah, of course.
God damn.
What do you got, Chris?
What were we talking about before we came out?
I don't know. You were about to steamroll the conversation again and come up with another topic. So let's do it.
This hurts. Listen, I'm already sick. This hurts me deep inside.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I know you're joking. This is an interesting thing. The court has ruled that an orangutan that's been held in Argentina zoo is a non-human person and can be freed. This 29-year-old Sumatran orangutan named Sandra.
Hey.
She's 29 years old. Yeah, cute name.
Wait, non-human as in not human or
non-human person, meaning it's not a person. It's not a human.
Oh, okay.
But it is a person because it's so cognitively aware that it's like torture for this thing to be living in the zoo. And
so
free
that's so a you can call story. It an individual.
Fuck yeah, I love it. Yeah, I guess you could say it's an individual shirt. It has a name. It probably it knows its name. Like, you go, hey, Sandra, it probably just...
It's self-conscious is what I'm saying.
It's probably self-aware. Yeah.
Self-aware.
I also would like to make a motion for everybody. We should have non-person humans that we can just lock up, like Dick Cheney.
Yes. Okay.
He's a human, but he's not a person. He's not a fucking person. Piece of
shit. Yeah, there's a lot of people like that. Like, yeah. Sociopaths and shit. Like, yeah, they're non-human people.
Right. Let's make non-person humans.
Go both ways. Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay.
So yeah, I think that's pretty cool. That's a cool one. And the last thing I wanted to bring up is this Hyperloop thing. Did you guys see this?
No.
Elon Musk, the guy that owns Tesla Motors, has come up with this idea for a solar-powered high-speed future like train that could take you from San Francisco to LA in like 30 minutes.
That is so awesome.
That sounds like that's going to be wildly dangerous.
It could be wildly dangerous.
It says 800 miles per hour.
$70 billion to create. To create this thing.
I feel like anything going 800 miles an hour on land is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Look at it, though. It looks so cool.
Is it done with magnets?
I think that'd be cool as fuck. Could you imagine if you get from New York to LA in like an hour?
How much would it cost?
$70 billion.
No, I mean to the ticket.
You're just in like a little six-person pod and it shoots you at 800 miles. Oh, is it? Okay, so it's on.
What? It's just one pod?
So it's not really like a train. It's like on a monorail track.
Kind of, yeah. And I think it would probably float, honestly, like above it a little bit, like the way that they do it really high-speed rail in China, where it's like, it never touches the track. It's just like magnets. Like somehow it kind of like floats right above the track, but it keeps it on course somehow. I'm not a fucking scientist. I don't know.
See, one of those has to come loose at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
I would hope not.
Maybe. No, but magnets wouldn't. Why would magnets come loose?
But there's got to...
That could become demagnetized.
Some issue of, like, one of those things goes flying off at 800 miles an hour.
At some point, it's going to happen.
Exactly.
But worth it. Look, it's fucking worth it. If we could get places so quick, I'd be willing to take the chance. Planes crash once in a while, we still use them.
That's true. Think about that monorail. If those guys could have taken that up here from Baltimore instead of faxing that fucking thing.
Yeah, it would have been no problem. They would have saved these cops' lives.
Yeah.
If you go on, this was on Business Week, I saw it, but it's been in other places. It shows like a picture of the system. Basically, there would be like 30, I think, like different stations, because over 1,000 miles of track or something, they said it gets ridiculous the amount of money it would cost.
Yeah.
So there'd be like different stations. So if you were in New York, you take it to Chicago to blah, 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 and there, but back to LA, but it would take
only a half an hour.
Yeah, it would take like no time at all to do it, which would be fucking amazing. That would kind of transform the world.
I would go to Chicago for lunch, like, all the time.
Right, but that's exactly what you could do, right? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to run to Florida for an hour. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
And the other thing, yeah, you were asking how much would it cost. It wouldn't cost that much because it would be, like, a national thing. So it would be in the best interest of all the states to, like, make it cost effective so you could go to other places and travel and work even in a different state.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. So that's pretty cool.
A half an hour to be, like, San Francisco to L.A. I could, like, that's shorter than my commute from here to the city.
Of course. Like, to get from, like, New Jersey, like, or from Connecticut, like, your normal commute.
It would take, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah. It would be no problem at all. It'd be fucking incredible.
Look, by the time this is even done, we probably have teleportation. It's 2029.
Teleportation's not going to...
That's happening.
Is that what it said, 2029?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That is not that far from now. It's almost 2015.
It's in our lifetime.
Yeah, it's 14 years.
We'll all be middle-aged.
Yeah. Well, yeah, me and Joey already are. No. But yeah, no, I mean, that'd be fucking incredible. Like, well, if we had kids, you know what I mean? It's like they'd be able to use it. And that'd be just really cool. I love shit like that. Like, that's what we need to start investing in. As
infrastructure.
Like, that.
That's what we need, Mr. Yes. Hyperloop. Yes. That's my Obama's getting better. I saw Jay Farrow last night. He does a much better Obama. He
was much better.
He did a pop in. All right, guys. So look, we kept that a little bit lighter. I think that was fun.
It wasn't at all the Christmas episode I hoped it to be.
I know. I'm not good at what were you imagining? What did you want to do?
Oh, like I thought we were gonna have like the log going on the Yule screen log.
Yeah, Yuletide show.
The Yule log and like I don't know. I thought we could at least like throw some bells in the post production and
We could still do. We haven't edited yet, so that might be a possibility.
I'm just saying.
Maybe they're playing right now.
Maybe they are.
If you listen closely, you could hear them.
Yeah. All
right. Fix it in post.
We'll fix it in post. That's a big expression in this room.
Yes, we say that a lot. We never edit anything out, though. We just add shit.
No, we don't. We just add fun things. But anyway, so I guess we have like 8 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, we should probably wrap up kind of soon.
We probably should. One thing. Travis Pastrana's new movie, Action Figures, came out. The trailer for it came out today, and it looks amazing. I'm going to show it to Chris after this.
Oh, okay.
Like, they do, they filmed a lot of it at his house, and they set up,
cool.
Yeah, like, for, because he has, like, you know, BMX course, dirt bike, jumps everywhere. And, like, the ramp they set up, one of the ramps itself is, like, 79 feet or something like that. So, like, dude, they get shot, like, you have to see it. Talk.
Why don't we save that for next week? Why don't we make that one of the things that we'll
one
do
of the things
next week?
We watch? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. We'll watch it next
and
week.
And I won't watch it until then.
Oh, really?
Oh, you really want me to say it? Okay,
you got to see it. Right, like, so it's like I can't do it any justice. You guys should watch it too. Like, it is out of control. Go check it out. Travis Pastrana Action Figures trailer. Just put it in YouTube or whatever. It'll come up. It is so crazy.
Okay. But that's something we'll definitely plan on doing next week.
Okay.
Because next week. I know I say it every week, but we will try to keep it light. I mean, assuming no cops get shot or anything, I think we'll probably just screw around kind of next week. It'll be
fun. Maybe the world should take it easy.
Yeah.
And we won't have to do these heavy-hitting shows.
Exactly. Yeah. We're trying to be good here. We're trying to keep it light. But look, the world keeps on spinning, Joey, and we got to talk about it. Yeah,
that's true.
All right. So, listen, get in touch with us on Twitter, at mansamp, at @A_Lozy. Joey is at Joey from Jersey. You can send us an email at mandatorysamson@gmail.com. You go on the soundcloud.com/mandatorysamson. Subscribe to the podcast. So when it comes out every Thursday at midnight, you're going to get a little notification and it's going to be amazing. You guys can listen to it and you'll learn some shit and you can make comments and it'll be great. Go on iTunes, rate, subscribe, all that jazz. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. We're going to be back recording next Tuesday and the episode will come out Thursday at midnight as always, which is New Year's Day Eve, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I didn't have anything else to say.
Oh, I was just going to say Merry Christmas, everybody. We hope you had a really great holiday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I hope you had a great day.
Let's add a little Christmas to our Christmas episode.
We're
trying.
We had one segment.
and I didn't think it went well. All right. So, Joey, why don't you take over here and please read the first installment of Joey Reads Excerpts from 50 Shades of Grey. Go for it, Joey.
Excuse me. You are very responsive, he breathes. You're going to have to learn to control that, and it's going to be so much fun teaching you how. He kisses me again. My breathing is still ragged as I come down from my orgasm. His hand moves down my waist to my hips, and then he cups me intimately. Jeez. His finger slips through the fine lace and slowly circles around me there.
Please read like briefly, a person so they can hear it.
He closes his eyes and his breath hitches.
Nope, his breathing hitches.
His breathing hitches. You're so deliciously wet. God, I want you. He thrusts his finger inside me, and I cry out as he does it again and again.
Finger banging.
He palms my clitoris, and I cry out once more. He pushes inside me harder and harder still. I groan. Suddenly, he sits up and tugs my panties off and throws them on the floor. Pulling off his boxer briefs, his erection springs free. Holy cow. He reaches over his bedside table and grabs a full foil packet, and then he moves between my legs, spreading them further apart. He kneels up and pulls a condom on his considerable length. Oh no, will it? How?
She's worried that giant dick is not going to fit.
Don't worry, he breathes, his eyes on mine. You expand too.
Oh.
He leans down, his hands on either side of my head, so he's hovering over me.
Hovering. He's not vacuuming over her. Hoovering over her.
Shut up.
Go ahead.
Staring down into my eyes, his jaw clenched, eyes burning. It's only now that I register he's still wearing his shirt. You really wanted to do this? He asks slowly. Please, I beg. Pull your knees up, he orders softly, and I'm quick to obey. I'm going to fuck you now, Miss Steele. He mumbles.
Damn it. You're doing a good job. God.
As he positions the head of his erection at the entrance of my sex.
That's another word for vagina, her sex.
Hard, he whispers, and he slams into me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I heard the writing of it wasn't very good. That was really, really well read. Well,
great job, Joey.
Yeah,
no, it's extremely poorly written.
Yeah, that's what I heard from everybody.
Yeah, it's terrible. Joey, great job with that.
Now, what page and chapter is that?
Don't worry, I don't know. Oh, okay. I flipped through.
Because if that's wholly on, I can't wait. Oh,
wow. I wish you just didn't do that. all right, guys. So anyway, let us know what you think about that. Let Joey know if that that really got you going. I mean,
it got me going.
Me and Andy are both chubbing here. That was pretty great.
Yeah. Well, my pen's out of wax, so let's end the show.
Okay. guys, thanks for listening. We love doing the show. It's really fun for us, and we're going to continue doing it for as long as possible. And yeah, hope you had a great Christmas, and I hope you have a great New Year's, and we'll talk to you guys. Is that the first?
Is
next
it?
Thursday? Well, yeah. Let me see. Yeah, we will talk to
you
guys
on the first
in the new year.
In the new year,
we will talk to you on the very first day of the new year.
That's right. So look forward to that, and thanks for coming along on this crazy journey with us. We'll see you soon.
Where's Bo Diddley?
Yeah, 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 Mona. curling down.